Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and today I'm also joined by...
It's Dave Morris.
How are you doing, Dave? How's life?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. Hopefully my sound is a bit more audible this week.
not to worry, these things take time to sort out.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. I need to pick another key for Push to Talk, because I'm holding the microphone with one hand, and I have my right... Push to talk of a Reiki. Anyways, so we've had three new hosts this week. We had the Air staff of Eerie Looking Productions, who are a radio show actually that run, they have their own podcast, but they put a special show together for HPR. And then we had Frederick Cougette and Zachary DeSantos, all of us joining this month. So thank you very much for them, and welcome to Hey Hacker Public Radio. So let's just go through the episodes as we normally do. We had community news last week, where we were joined by Becky and Phil, and of course Dave. Becky and Phil are at Bar Camp Blackpool. Envy them very much. Les Palm just putting on a great show over there by all the tweets I'm looking at. The day after, we had Deb Random with Pegwall, and we have a few more of those in the queue, so I have no idea when they're going to get out.
Okay. That's a hell of a show. 2 hours, 45 minutes, I think, wasn't it?
Still, that's...
So it was quite something, yeah, I enjoyed that.
I like those shows, a bit off the wall. The next day was the air staff of Eerie Looking Production. And it was reformatting creative content for non-computing settings.
I like their production values, actually. I thought they're, well, you can tell they've done that sort of thing before. It sounded really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. They've done a lot of stuff. Hopefully they can continue to produce stuff for HPR. And the idea of what they were doing actually seems like a good idea. I've been toying with the idea of, like I have obviously all the HPR shows and stuff here on my NAS as a backup. I was thinking of rebroadcasting them here on the local, in the neighborhood and that sort of thing.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah, it'd be, well, I don't know what the legality of it is. I just got one of those wireless FM transmitters, and when I was ordering it, was like, warning, this may not be legal in your jurisdiction type thing. So we'll see how it goes. But I was thinking, just as a by-the-by, you know, as we already had a show in Rivendell here, and with a little FM transmitter, you know, for the local area, you could... definitely have the kids in the neighborhood like put together a radio show or something, you know.
Absolutely. Cool. Yes.
And the following day, we had a bit of a win here actually from Russ Winter. He was at a talk with Eric S. Raymond at the Central Philly Lug, and things just kind of worked out, and we were able to put the show together. And put it out. So that was a very, very interesting talk. What did you think of?
I thought that was excellent. Yes, I've never heard Eric Raymond speak before, and I've read his various things, you know, Cathedral and Bazaar and those types of things. He has been a very important person in the Linux world, in the open source world, and so forth for a long time, hasn't he? Never heard him before, but I was very impressed with that talk.
Yeah, I definitely think he's had a. You know, the pendulum has swung a little bit to the RMS camp, I think, but he's had a lot to offer, and I was very impressed by the talk. It was quite technical, quite interesting. Just generally not what I expected at all, to be honest.
No, he was fielding a hell of a lot of questions from the audience there, wasn't he? And I thought doing fantastic. I really wish I could have been at a talk like that. It was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I think They hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what the HPR audience, or at least I like about HPR, is getting to hear these talks that you otherwise wouldn't, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it makes you feel like you're part of the LUG group in Central Valley for a day. You know, you just visited and joined in. So I really, really do appreciate that. So, you know, if you've got a LUG, or if that you get that opportunity as well, bring along your recorder and submit that sort of thing to HPR. That's exactly the sort of thing we love to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alrighty, moving on. We had Deep Geek powering away with Talk Geek to Me News again, and then the following Monday we had How to Cut the Cable Cord. My setup, Brockton Bob, has a very, very interesting video there on his setup. It was basically the audio of the YouTube video, but I don't know how much people missed because I had watched the video before I had listened to the audio, as I do. Did you watch the video at all, Dave?
I did, actually, yes. Yes, I thought since there was video, I really needed to see it. So, I thought it was great, actually. I really envy him, his setup. It looked amazing. Yeah. It's I could have done with a few more details about how he'd built it and configuration and stuff, but you know, that was just me. I want to know everything in these sorts of talks.
I thought you covered that pretty much in the previous episodes, or did
right,
I miss
right.
something?
I've maybe not joined them in my head enough to understand fully how he's put that together. I must go back and listen.
Yeah, again, we'll probably veer off now into a little bit of what the plans are for the. What I'd like to do is, you know, have one of those hashtag things where it would be simpler to find his previous shows and kind of group them together, make it more. It is possible on the current site to do it, but I want to make that a little bit cooler if possible.
Yeah, yeah. Because your other alternative is to click on the host name and then look at their other episodes, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not always so easy to do. It's not always obvious.
Yeah, I think we may have to. It would be a trivial enough thing in the feed to put in other shows in the series and put those links in, or maybe other topics. You know, this is tagged this, and you can click on the show notes or whatever and get to that tag. Anyway, we can put in the infrastructure for doing all that cool stuff, and then see how we go from there. Anyway, good. 1072 was a Tuesday. I know this because it was Dan with Top controlling Top. And my lord, is Top. Top is some command. In episode 1 and 2, I thought, okay, that's it. That's all there is to possibly talk about Top. But he has taken it, in fairness, he has taken that command and absolutely drilled it down to the very end. Episode 4 was difficult, I thought, to get through myself.
Yes, I thought it was just me. No, it's a hell of a command. I had no idea that there was so much to it. I've never thought to dig that deep in it, to be honest with you. Just look at what's the top of the list and, you know, go
Jump
and follow up and
yeah.
kill it. Or whatever you have to do, you know. But yeah, wow.
In
who the
fairness,
hell's built that? You know, it's who's been responsible for all of that work? There's a hell of a lot gone into that.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we, in fairness, again, we need to stand up and applaud Dan for taking the topic and absolutely doing it justice. There is
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
there is no element of any command that he touches that is not 100% clear to people at the end of it. Like, and if you don't get it in the podcast, you get it via the blog. If you don't get it via the blog, then you really get it on the video. It's amazing. Amazing. Well done, Dan.
Yes, I echo that completely.
I look forward, though, to him dealing with some nice, you know, something like clear screen or something. You know, clear screen. It clears the screen. Although no doubt Dan will find every single thing that there is possible to do with clear screen. Okay. Anyway, Ahuka came out with separation content from the web, and I went, yes, I think this is required reading for absolutely anybody who required listening and reading, indeed, anybody who sits behind a computer.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's a sort of Bible for the web, I suppose, that sort of stuff is, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Although one thing I did have to scream down was that there is a field in the title of a HTML page for the title. H1 is just the like you use for chapters in a book, I imagine. But there is a, under HTML, under the head section, there is a, an actual title that puts the title up in the title bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But that was a minor thing, to be honest. I am I've been preaching this for quite a while myself.
No, it was good. It was good. I really enjoyed that. And yeah, we got as far as CSS as well, which is pretty scary stuff.
Well, that's yeah, and he mentioned CSS Zen guarding on his in his episode, and that is really just a fantastic site. As you click through, did you ever visit it at all?
I haven't. No, no.
Oh, they take the text and, you know, then they do it amazing. Just they just completely change the look and feel of the web page based only on CSS, like from comic book layouts, you know, to comic strip layouts to, you know, your boring businessy type layouts right through. It's fantastic.
It's amazingly powerful stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Bit, I always found it a bit scary personally. I've never been much of a web guru myself, but no, yeah, I could get into this. I could happily get into some of this stuff.
I hope he continues to do this. And if there are CSS experts out there and you feel you know enough to get myself and Dave started, then feel free to record a show on Saturday. Right, yep. The next day we have... Oh, not Cloud2 is possibly going to join us, I hope. The next day we had... OggCamp 11, the embarrassment continues, not from obviously there, but the fact that we're sending out OggCamp 11 after OggCamp 12 has been and gone.
Yeah. Yes, I know. It's it did look a little bit out of place, that, but still, it's good. It was a nice, nicely done chat, I thought.
Exactly.
Have we had the whole lot of OggCamp 12 stuff?
Well, we have from the full circle. However, during the week, I did get, I was lambasted, in fairness, at OggCamp 12, as you can imagine, for not having released interviews I had recorded on OggCamp 11. So I still have a few more to do.
Okay.
I'm not going to do all the back episodes. There are a few that I still need to go out. So the ones I've recorded, I've received. But as you know, I'm kind of a bit busy with other things going on at the moment, which all going well, I'll release a show on, and probably all not going well, I'll release a show on anyway, one way or the other. So we'll see in a few months how that pans out. Anyway, yes, so in answer to your question, yes, there are still more to do, I'm afraid, but the backlog has been cleared.
Okay.
So then we had 1075 Talk Geek to Me News from Deep Geek, and then 1076 I bumped up to the top because it was Ohio Linux Fest and we needed to get the news out there about that. The following day we had another bump out. This one was Hack for Freedom. Help me, Dave. Help me.
I think it's Haralanova.
Yes, I remember. Sorry, I was practicing that in the station because I knew I was going to have to say it over and over. Now I can't say it.
Yes, it's not a name that's easy to instantly digest. But I really enjoyed that one. Actually, I thought what an interesting and enthusiastic person this I've forgotten her first name, Haralanova, was. But a fantastic and interesting interview that.
Absolutely, coming all the way from Canada twice. I'm embarrassed to say I wasn't aware of FSCon at all. So yes, I need to have a look at that. I think my next major plan is to get ready for FOSDEM, actually, which will be coming up quite soon. Are you going over to that at all, by any chance?
It's in Belgium, isn't it? Is it?
Oui. Oh, yeah.
And it's in February, I believe. Is that right?
It is, but it kind of creeps up on you because it's, I think it's early on in February and you have the whole Christmas thing going on and then all of a sudden you think, oh, that's next year, and then it's not, it's next month.
I did happen to have a conversation with somebody just a day or so ago saying, oh, if you ever need to get to Belgium, it's very good to take the train.
The Eurotunnel is cool.
The Eurotunnel train, which there's a direct line from London to Belgium, I believe.
Have you ever done it?
Never. I've been to Paris on it, but I've never been over to Belgium. So tempted.
Should do.
To look
should
at the,
do. We always need. We
to look
do
at the
need
bank
two
balance.
For the. We do need two for the booth, and Cornomalon was probably going to chicken out on me, being a chicken that he is.
Okay. I'm getting a message here. I think yes. I'll see. I'll talk to you about it. I'll have a look at the bank balance.
Have a look at the bank balance after you go. It's the key.
Yeah,
although
yeah.
Actually, it's amazing how many people haven't been in the tunnel, and it's amazing how boring they managed to make it. You know,
it is. Yeah. And it's it's just a sort of dark tunnel.
Yeah, but like, in fairness, you know, they've been trying to build this thing for 200 years, yeah? They've been building it since before Napoleon's time. And then they take it and they turn it like into the Swansea Thingy Express is going under the tunnel. You're now in the most fantastic piece of... They don't do anything about it. It's just a train.
Rather than
an underground aquatic super light experience or something. They've turned it into like...
Yeah,
boring.
I agree. I found actually the process of getting on the train was far more interesting than the journey itself. You know, because it's like getting on a plane. You have to go through the whole ticketing and customs and all the rest of it.
Exactly. I was a bit surprised at that whole thing. You get a flight, you know, boarding card, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
Do you ever take a car on it?
No, I've never done that.
Apparently you can drive your car on and you sit there in your car and you just go across to France and drive off. Cool.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's something to try maybe.
I don't know.
Taking a British car to Paris, to France is not easy. I've done it once and I wouldn't want to do it again. It's hard to be in your own car and driving on the wrong side of the road. You won't understand this where you are, I guess. But coming from Britain to the continent is weird.
No, I completely understand it. I have no problem when I go back to Ireland, like just getting into the car and driving on the other side. You know, because left hand drive and you switch to a right hand drive. Mm-hmm. But my golden rule is always keep the passenger to the ditch is the key. You know. But that goes completely out the window if you're driving a left-hand drive car in a right-hand drive country or vice versa.
That's right. So, yeah. I drove around California last year for about 3 weeks and came back to Britain, and the car felt strange. It felt like it was, you know, twisted. I was sitting on the wrong side of it, but it was getting back into it was really, really easy after being in an American car. But, yeah, don't do that.
Okay, fair enough. I knew enough about tangent there. Then we had where were we? A podcast about software patents and unitary patents. I was supposed to put this out. I got the email when I was away doing that thing, and I didn't get to put it out. So I just got it on the day and. The day after the vote was, but fortunately the vote has been postponed until October, so this is still valid. And Frederick, we should get together and do another show about this to make sure it's out on time. Anybody in the EU should definitely go and contact their MEP about making sure that software patents don't raise their ugly heads again. It's constant vigilance, I'm afraid. Constant vigilance.
Yeah. I went and looked at the April site, and but I haven't yet clicked on the call a random MEP button, done the necessary. But it's it looks highly desirable.
Yeah, I think we need to do that. Okay, then we had the distributed system podcast, and I don't know about you, but this was so far over my head that I was clutching the straws.
My notes here say fascinating but heavy going. I don't think I got more than about 50% of that, because I think somebody commented this is going to be really hard for somebody who doesn't understand what it is we're trying to solve in the first place. I think that was true. I'm not quite sure what the problem was they were trying to solve, but it sounded really, really impressive, whatever it was that they'd come up with as a solution. But,
no, I did have some experience with what they're trying to do, getting trades down on a, you know, on the stock exchange down.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very fast, get them logged as quickly as possible, keeping mm-hmm. everything out of the way. So I kind of did have experience of that, but it's such a specialized subject on what they're doing. It's amazing. It makes me interested to see what other sort of things they have in the pipeline there.
Yeah, it looks like something that could be quite interesting to research about if there was something that explained it in for the layman, I think. But yeah, quite a problem they're solving, I guess.
And we've been joined by Tlatu and Pegwall. If you two guys want to join in, feel free to do so. We're just finishing up the shows, and if there's any of them you want to talk about, feel free.
Thank you. I will. I think you're on 1081 now, is that correct?
Yes, but feel free to go back and talk about anything at all, Tlatu.
No, that's okay. I was actually just going to say, because I'm kind of a GIMP fan, so I really enjoyed 1081, actually. It was, I mean, I didn't really learn anything, but I love hearing about other people's workflow, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Push to talk. Couldn't agree more. And who was this? Dave, did you put a comment into the...
Yes, I put a comment into Frank.
Explain what you just said to Frank.
Well, being an ex-biologist, I'm afraid I'm one of these guys who says, oh, look, somebody's made a mistake on the internet. I've got to go and tell them about it. So I had to point out that the wasp that he thought was, the thing he thought was a wasp was not. It's a hoverfly. But I already mailed him about it, and he didn't take it badly. But
so
can you? I can't really. I'm not convinced that you can tell from that resolution of the picture. But maybe you can. Maybe you're that good.
I think so. I think so. It's obviously not a wasp or a bee. It's because bees and wasps have very different shapes, different shape head, different shape abdomen. This guy has got big head, two forward-facing eyes, looks like little antennae at the front, classic so-called dipteran fly. So, sorry.
Wow, you know, sorry for arguing there.
I have to over-geek you on the biology, if I possibly can.
I'm gotcha. Really sorry I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
Tlatu, how can you possibly say that when we argue over your furry screenshots of some Linux desktop in the back of some TV
yeah,
show?
Yeah, yeah, true.
it's an XFC desktop running on TV.
Yeah.
So I'm not the only one that gets excited when they see something like that?
Absolutely not. No, no, no.
No, there's too many of us around, obviously.
So then we had Linux in the Shell and Linux in the Shell episode 4 of Top, episode 16, part 4 of Top, Alternative Windows. And as we said before earlier on, I had no idea any of that stuff was even possible. I mean, for me, Top...
Same here.
Yeah, I was able to go in, get Top, do a little bit of sorting and go, hey, look, I'm so late.
The only problem I had was, what the hell was I going to do with it now? I didn't know what on earth to do with all those different windows. But I think that's probably me, but not really understanding it yet.
I'm actually embarrassed to start using the program now. I've stopped using it because I'm obviously so underusing it, it would be a shame to actually use it.
Yes. Yeah, right.
You know, that's the thing I love about Dan is, well, normally, you know, he can just be Dan, but then he just drops some knowledge on you out of nowhere.
And
I kind of resent that because it seems like he's holding out on us all the other times, but yeah, I do appreciate the knowledge.
Yeah, he's fantastic. As I was saying earlier, I hope he picks something, you know, really obvious, like clear screen or something. But knowing Dan, actually, he'll really like, oh, did you know that, you know, clear screen, you can set the different types of screen that you can clear, or you just remove particular colors or certain pixels. Oh, okay, moving back on. It was good to hear from Sigflup. Compilers part 1 and compilers part 2 is in the queue. Farhead?
Oh, I was just going to say, I saw a talk that she did partly on compilers at some festival. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Ohio Linux Fest. It wasn't specifically about compilers, but she talked a lot about compilers. And I learned so much in like the 5 minutes that she covered compilers. And yeah, this episode is fantastic. I love this kind of stuff. This is stuff that I just don't even begin to know where to start learning it. So when someone just kind of tells me about it, it's great.
Yeah, I was really impressed with this. I had to play it about 3 times to get that list of preprocessor lexical analysis parsing. You can tell I made notes as well. It's very impressive. I maybe ask her to slow down a teeny bit, maybe give us some show notes would be good. But I'm happy with that as it was.
Yes, actually, show notes would be cool. If anyone wants to volunteer to do show notes at any time, feel free to join in. And then we had Paul Levy on learning to dance with spiders, which is from the last, I think, of Robin Gatling's edited Full Circle podcast on HPR segments.
I actually have not heard that one, so I can't comment on it.
It is pretty cool. It's the amount, how to get yourself offline type of thing. How much time do you spend of a day? Are you just aimlessly surfing, or are you just going to... do you start your computer up to just do a task, and then, you know, 4 hours later you turn it down, haven't done stuff, but not exactly what you wanted to do when you started up your PC?
I'm actually pretty good at that. I'm not on the web that much. I'm generally good. If I'm opening up a web browser, it's because I need some kind of information from it. Whether I spend too much time at the computer or not is a completely different question.
See, I'm the exact opposite, and personally, I blame Reddit.
Yeah, see, I avoid sites like that for that reason, because if I did go to Reddit or 4chan or something, yeah, then it turns into like an all-day thing, and you're like, what happened to the day?
It just spirals out of control, because you're like, ooh, something I'm interested in. Ooh, something else I'm interested in. Ooh, technology
something
news.
I'm morbidly interested in.
One more
that I know I shouldn't be looking at because it's just so stupid.
Thebestofyoutube.com.
Yeah, you know, just lolcats. Well, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's a horrible place to go, the internet. I go there for information and then I close the browser. And I really don't use a graphical browser that much, which also kind of helps because there are lots, you know, it's less to look at when you're firing it up in Lynx or W3 in Emacs. Then it's just like super easy to get the information and then close the window.
Yeah, cool. That's actually not a bad idea. And 1085, which was Friday's show, was a stream sent in by Zachary DeSantos. Did anyone get to listen to this?
I did listen to it, actually. Yes.
And what did
I
you
was waiting. I was wondering what I was listening to be honest. I was sort of poised waiting for something to happen, and then I realized it was a stream. It was water. It was water running. It was an ambient sound thing.
I thought that was really, really clever. I totally didn't think that was the kind of stream we were going to be talking about. I was very, very impressed with that kind of thing. I like things like that.
I thought you might, Tatu. I had it right in my head when, because we were talking after I interviewed him about the sky kite, obviously, that goes in the sky at the Hacker Village up in Edel Camp 13. And afterwards, he goes around and records a lot of this ambient stuff, which is odd because I wanted to do a bit of that myself. The sea and that sort of thing, to be playing in work rather than listening to music just to drown out the drone of people. And he said he had a whole go of this stuff, so I said, yeah, that'd be ideal. Send it on in.
Very cool. Yeah, some of the portable recorders these days are just so phenomenal in their in the quality. It's almost, yeah, it's fun to get kind of ambient noise like that just because it's so beautifully recreated in the recording. It just really sounds nice.
Yeah, and I thought I'd go on ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to agree with that. My son's just started a degree in music here in Edinburgh, and he and I bought a portable recorder. We were going to share it. I was going to try and do podcasts with it, but he's taking it because he needs it for his course, and he's going to be doing this sort of stuff. And playing around with that thing, I was amazed at the quality you can get from it. So, looking forward to some good stuff from him.
I have a Zoom H2, which I wanted to put on the beach up in Friesland. The sound of there's nobody around, don't allow cars or anything on the beach. On the whole island, it's completely, only people who live there allowed cars. And there's not a sound except the crashing of waves, but it was pouring down with rain, so I didn't want to ruin my Zoom H2 that evening.
Yeah.
But I do like that. And the whole freesound.org project, it's like... it is an audio, the Lost in Bronx is on about getting people into theatrical performances, things on the radio, old radio theater, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's cool. You can, it was a dark night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great resource. I mean, you can find all kinds of great sound effects there. And that's one site that I go to very, very frequently.
Yes, that, and I think I should actually do a summary of some of the of those sites. The free font site as well. I found it the other day when I was trying to get down a font for doing some posters for my son's birthday. And of course, Open Clip Art.
Yeah, Open Clip Art's great.
You know, I was just going to say that is one reason I love the Free Sound Project. It's just oddly fun to go find just sounds of like ambient stuff and just listen to it.
It just actually is quite cool. I did the my kids they sometimes get scared of some of the TV shows that are on, so I show them how they make stuff disappear on TV, you know. So we did a video of them like making all the plates on the table disappear, and then at the end, you know, they edited in them, I'm the best magician in the world, I'll make it disappear, kaboom, and then, you know, half hour later after clean the table, cut that in, splice it in, and then at the end they take a bow, and I just got some applause from somebody's wedding and put it in, you know, and at the end it's like they're all chuffed.
That's funny, that's great.
Yes, sounds great at your house.
And images then from what was it, Open Clip Art at the end, you know, and free fonts for the fonts is brilliant. It's really cool what you can do, and you know that you've got all the licenses covered, you know.
And, you know, I think it's so important that kids should understand how the world works in this respect, you know, because so much rubbish on TV and films and stuff that trying to make you believe one thing is true that's not, you know. The way that kids have been taught that if you take a balloon and blow in it and then let it go, it floats. And that's completely not true. And I always want them to be able to look behind the scenes and find out these sorts of nonsense things.
It's not a feckin' bee, it's a fly.
That's it. That's how my kids want to be. I want my kids to be. Always lifting the curtain and looking behind it.
Absolutely. Well, yet at the same time, not taking away all the mystery of it, you know, but at the same time.
No. Don't tell anybody else, you know, but just know yourself.
Right. I haven't had a chance to go through all the emails and stuff, but there is a few things that that jumped out at me. One of them was that we did make a little change to the website. I don't know if anyone even noticed it over the last month.
I didn't. I mean, I saw a new logo on the left at one point, but I don't think I saw anything else different.
Well, now if you go to any of the shows, you'll see that there's an OG, a Speaks, and an MP3 link.
Oh, that. Yeah, I did notice that, actually.
Yes, I spotted that. I didn't realize it was new. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess I just knew that we had different streams for so long. I didn't really realize we hadn't posted them or something.
Change something that was bugging me for so long was that when you click on the show, now you go to the show episode, it doesn't start playing the MP3 file. So
yeah, that's great.
That's been needing to be done for a while. But I haven't done anything on the site because we were so long moving to the new site, which, you know, I haven't got around to, blah, blah, blah. coughing, moving on. But then when Fabrice mentioned that he brought it up, that we were promoting MP3 over the OG. So I then put the OG first and the MP3 last. Well, fair enough, don't argue the point. Just do it, it's 5-minute work. But I also want to thank David Whitman, who realized that I had put half the cash in for the banner, and not only did he give me more than enough for the banner, he sent me over $150 to cover the cost of the banner, and I will now use that to fund stickers for anybody who's donated to the ASF. And anybody who has then some stickers for FOSCON, FOSDEM, FOSDEM, FOSDEM.
Wait, what is ASF? Oh, accessible. No, what is ASF?
Oh, yeah. What
that's is? ACF.
That's my dyslexia coming in again. Okay. Tell us all about it, Natla, too.
What, the Accessible Computing Foundation?
Thank you, yes.
It is a foundation that promotes accessibility in computing, specifically on free software.
And what can you do over there? For $2 a month, in actual fact.
Oh, I don't know. I signed up, but I didn't know I was supposed to be getting anything for it.
You no, you can get anybody who signed up. I'm just if they send me a address, I'll send them off a sticker or something when we get a sticker back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyone else got anything to say? Oh, yes. Somebody reported just in my email. I can't go to my email now because of my weird, silly selection on push to talk. I need actually three hands.
wow.
Well, okay. It's a long story. I normally have my telephone box, the box that my mobile phone came in, and I rest my mic on that, which is like the perfect height. But for some reason, that has disappeared. Probably due to having a wife and three kids. And so I'm holding my mic with my hand, and the other hand I'm using to hold the push to talk button.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Now I can't scroll with my mouse. Anyways, yes, I got an email. Hold on 1 second. And that email was from the person Epicanus. Are you online?
Looks like he's trying to be.
Yes, and I've just butchered his handle, as is the tradition.
No, I think you got it right, Epicanus.
No, I'm not supposed to get it right. That's the whole thing about HBR Community News. I practice and practice and practice getting everybody's name wrong. Anyway, he mentioned that the OGG feed doesn't have that crappy, stupid date properly, which is odd because I've checked it, but I'll fix it again.
I was trying to find the exact spec for the date format, and I thought everything was fine, but he's saying it's not, so I'll believe him. No, I wonder how he's digging it up.
I kind of believe him as well. I will have a look and make sure that everything's okay. But it's that stupid email email format, which is absolutely, in English. So even if you've got a French podcast, you have to have the dates in English. So
yeah, that is weird.
And it's RSS 822.
822, okay.
And it's freaking stupid. Yes, I agree. Which is why we will be using Atom feeds for to power the front end to the back end, because it uses the correct date format, year, month, day, T, hours, minutes, seconds.
Interesting.
Yes, and does a lot more stuff like supporting multiple authors for the show, and allows you to embed the OGG, the speaks, the MP3, and the FLAC file in the one element.
What's the history of Atom versus RSS? Do you have any idea, or should I just refer myself to Wikipedia?
Probably Wikipedia, but I can give you my rundown. Atom, yeah. RSS started and was basically hacked together, and then Atom, they sat down and thought, well, let's do this properly, and it kind of hasn't caught on.
I'm going to have to look at it for my own show, I think, because that kind of sounds appealing.
It is. It's quite nice. Sorry, go ahead, Peggle.
I was going to say, I think I should talk Crayon to using an Atom feed for Dev Random.
Yeah, it's a lot cleaner, actually. It's a lot cleaner.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And the spec is, it's clear XML. You can embed, extend the namespace if you want. They're very clear. You must use this. You shall use this. You must not use this. You can use this. And they take into account things like that people actually might want HTML in particular areas. And then you just flag that as being HTML. Fine.
Nice.
Thank you. So pretty cool. So I will be building, and they also allow, the feed also allows for feeds of feeds. So you can take somebody else's Atom feed and just give the bare minimum of information and pull the element from somebody else's Atom feed in. So that's pretty cool. And also, which is kind of nice, it allows you to have just the element entry, which is the bit about the show itself, as a free standalone file. So when people upload the shows, they could have their own elements actually completed and submitted to us, and then we can just ingest that element as part of as an entry in the main feed itself. Pretty cool.
That sounds brilliant. I wonder why I'm not using this. I'm liking the way that this sounds.
I think anybody who's gotten into RSS deep enough has gone, there has to be something better than this. There really
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
I know that Google were trying to promote it and they got shut down because people were kind of married to RSS. But I think it's unfortunate that Apple, when they came out, that they didn't just go, instead of extending our own namespace and doing all that stupid crap, we'll just use Atom and that's it. But they didn't.
No comment.
Okay, I still need to chase down Sigflux's Raspberry Pi, which has been lost in the post or whatever, and if it doesn't come, I'll just arrange for another one to be sent to her. Ooh, let me have a look. Anything else? Oh, yes, thanks 5150 for spotting that the episodes were in the wrong order. I still haven't sent out the t-shirts that I promised people. That's because... all right. The reason I didn't give them... I'm not going to say the reason I didn't give them. But there was a laundry fusion, so I wasn't able to hand out the t-shirts at Ogcamp. And then I promised to give them out. But now, since then, we've done a clean out of all the rooms upstairs. So the back room is now full of old furniture, and I can't get at the t-shirts. So that is the pathetic excuse for this month. And hopefully that'll buy me some time until next month.
Sounds like this is a scam.
Yes, it is. It's a big scam. We have apparently won the sum of 200,000,000 euros in the Euro raffle.
the famous Euro raffle. Yes. I've heard of this.
That is fantastic. Larry Bushy is replying that, yes, the RSS script that we had was giving a 403 for forbidden, but I need to investigate really to see whether that's a me thing or somebody else thing.
Wasn't the Euro raffle put on by that really wealthy Nigerian prince?
It is, in actual fact. It is, just before he hidden all his gold somewhere. So I think that is pretty much as I can talk about. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves for a while.
Well, no pressure, huh?
Not at all. I think that's pretty much it. Did you have a listen to any of the shows this month? Anything jump out at you? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I am so sadly behind on shows right now. Yes. I really need to catch up.
Not a bother, but remember... Don't unsubscribe the feed. Listen to the show and delete it. That's another thing, actually. If you're not interested, just delete it. That's another thing, actually, that the Atom feed supports a lot better is they have a summary field, which we could then use to feed the Twitter feed. But also, and I wanted to get people's idea of this, also at the beginning of the show, we could automate, like, if people put in a short summary, 140-character summary of what the show is about, we could have, this is episode 200, 1027, and today's show is about blah, 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 whatever. At the beginning of the show, plus we could also include announcements for today is the last day that you can buy your tickets for whichever upcoming event is coming on. What do people think about that as a concept?
I think it sounds great. I think it sounds very smart.
Doesn't interfere in the sanctity of people's show or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either.
Okay, because I was thinking, right, here we have this this thing that goes out every single day, and we all know that there are some shows that are more interesting than other shows. Not me, obviously, because I'm hardcore HBR. But a lot of people say, oh, God, a lot of the stuff, I listen to it, and then I just, delete it. But if you knew what the show was about beforehand, you would at least have the choice to go, that is actually interesting. I might listen to that, or I might listen to it later. Plus, we do go out every day, so it would be an ideal time, an ideal opportunity to people to get in their last-minute announcements as a, heads-up to all the community type thing.
Yeah, I think that would be actually really useful for that, just for I guess getting those things out to people. I mean, because a lot of people, I don't think, know that there's a mailing list, and so if they were subscribed to this anyway and they could get little announcements, then that might be helpful.
We could actually do something like an Identica. No, I'm not going to commit myself to anything else here. No, this is the path of evil.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, that would mean that, we could also then add on promos to the end of the shows as well, automatically, as they, as they're coming up. But it would also mean that people would not need to add the intro and outro to their shows.
That would be brilliant.
But I like doing that.
Okay, if you want to, that's fine. It would be an option.
Oh, and my microphone works now.
Hello!
So would this little summary be like a in the same text file as the show notes, or a separate thing?
Yeah, the summary would be you would write it, and it's one of the fields supported by Atom. So it would be at the top, and you would submit that with your show. So you would upload as high quality as you could, a FLAC or a WAV file, and then you would have an Atom XML element file, and in there would be the text, the summary of whatever it is that you're talking about, and that would be read out at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay, so we'd be generating our own Atom output.
Yep, with the help of a web thingy if you needed it, or with the help of a bash script or something.
That works.
Yes, and then we can add advertising to the back and resell your shows.
Do I get a cut?
No, it's all CC by SA. We got rid of the Creative Commons. Sorry, we got rid of the non-commercial.
Can I write it off on my taxes?
Sure, I'll print receipts. Right, folks, I think that's about it. I need to go and spend some time with my lovely wife, who is sitting at the television reading the subtitles of the program. She's just said yes. All right, so if you want to chat on, that's fine, but I'm getting out of here.
Cool, see you guys later.
Okay, see you all.
Later, guys. Take it easy, Ken Fallon.
Okay, guys, and remember that this is now, there's a scheduled meeting. It's if you want a reminder, just go to the HPR website. It's the last Saturday of the month, and Dave, that's the reason why I had to go back and start the repeating meeting sometime in May or wherever, because I needed to find a day where that was 31 days where it's landed on a Saturday.
That's
That's how you pick the last Saturday of the month in Google terms. This is seriously on the user forum how you pick the last Saturday of the month in a recurring appointment. Anyway, it worked. It's a hack. It's fine. So it's on there on the website. Feel free to click it and join every month. And the details of how to join the Mumble server are on there as well. It's a lot better if more people than me are on it. Okay, appreciate everybody turning up. Thanks, guys. Have a good month. Bye.
Okay, cheers.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.